Welcome to the Mayo Fashion Magic in Action podcast. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Joanne. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Not bad. It's a lovely weekend here in Dubai. Not too cold.
Here in England, it's kind of wet and cold and sunny in between, but it's full moon, so auspicious.
Indeed.
Just wanted to say to everybody how excited we are to be starting this Mayo Fashion Magic in Action series of regular podcasts, probably about every other week. And I also want to say how thrilled I am to be working with Paul on this project that was born a couple of years ago when I did a series of masterclasses and my publisher basically said, we want them as books. And in the process of that, I've had the great privilege of knowing Paul for a long time, working with him in the anatomy lab under the general auspices of our friend, mentor, and what do we call him? Magical master of all things anatomical, physiological, and brilliant in action, John Sharkey. And Paul just basically turned up on my doorstep one day and said, come on, let's get this done. Let's sort this out. Let's get these movements in place. And obviously, I've been teaching in the yoga field for decades, and Paul's been teaching in the Pilates field for decades. And we're both very fascinated by things like rehab and recovery for dancers and athletes. And we work in all professions, Paul as well in martial arts. And yeah, so magic started to happen with the course we created, Myofascial Magic in Action. And the book is out this year, Watch This Space. And it's my great privilege to be sharing this program and being guided and gifted and working with you, Paul. So thank you.
Well, it's a privilege to be with you on this, sharing our thoughts and opinions as we've gathered them along our journeys, which is intertwined in dissection labs around the world. And I think it bore out of course, a joy for helping people, a frustration for why they were consistently getting injured unnecessarily in the vast majority of cases. And as we've collected our different opinions and approaches to addressing various scenarios that were similar between our own clientele, we started to unravel different strategies that were better. And when I heard about your approach and I had mine, and there was that symbiotic sense, I was like, wow, she's doing some good work there. And it's similar to mine, but mine's a little bit more aggressive, maybe a bit more masculine orientated. I thought it would be nice to have both sides of the same coin, because I think our coin and our interest is going in the same direction, but we have different approaches to the same issues.
Yeah.
And to, like any good tradesman, you need a variety of tools in your toolbox to address any life scenario. And so we're not assuming we know how to do everything, but it's great to be armed and tooled with as many options as possible.
Absolutely. And what I love is that, you know, between the two of us, I think we've racked up, I think it's 12 different languages. We've had this course either, we're not translated that people can do it in 12 languages yet. We're getting there. But we've actually visited different countries with many languages.
Yes.
And I think we talk about people having movement signatures, and everyone's movement signature is unique, and they write their own movement signature in their own hand, in their own language.
Yep.
And we're both manual therapists as well. So we speak, let's say, fluent fascia. And with all our studies of the fascial matrix and understanding, I think what's so brilliant about working with you is that because we're part of this paradigm, and it's not something that we've made up or something that we've just followed as a result of our work, it's something that our work is grounded in this 21st century anatomy, as John Sharkey calls it. So we've got loads of lab experience. We've got loads of research behind it. And what I think is so key for our listeners is understanding that we're not reinventing any movement wheels. We're not designing a new movement modality and making all the others wrong. What we're dealing with is what we call really honest movement. And what we've both discovered, and by no means are we unique in this, is that some movement protocols seem to build up and create repetitive strain injuries or twists or ligamentous damage. You know, sport can be dangerous, and so can yoga sometimes, and so can Pilates sometimes, and so can athletics sometimes. And while we all love watching the dancers on stage do their fabulous performances, what Paul and I get to see is what happens backstage before and after those amazing performances. And we both get to work with, if you like, the broken side of the bodies that are mending themselves to perform. And it brought us both up very, very short and very eager to give all the movement teachers that we work with and meet and teach this opportunity to add what we call the spices, the flavorings, the seasonings to their already established practice that just gives them those extra tools to make sure that what they're doing isn't inducing repetitive strain injury or it isn't overstraining that particular body because they learn to see what they're looking at. Is that fair?
It's very fair. And I think without making a big blanket statement, people have the most remarkable ability to do the most amazing things with their bodies, but depending on what shape and size they inhabit currently. And unfortunately, we tend to see them, be it the advertisement of the health and fitness industries and the various modalities, it attracts a personality to it rather than the right shape. And invariably, if the wrong shape is doing the wrong thing, then there's a consequence to that, that the body's not adapted doing those particular movement styles efficiently, and they're told to work through it and endure it, and there's success through the struggle. And there's elements of truth to that. But in the simplest terms, our body, human body, is not designed to take such repetitive strains so frequently without consequence and ramifications. And that nobody's told that. They're not told of the consequences of joining in whatever they're going to be joining in.
Yeah, and no, exactly. And they just fight to be good at it.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I think that's unfortunate because we know the consequences. There's enough people out there in the world who have obtained enough experience and hindsight because they've seen the outcome of these journeys of thousands of people. And we know that if I can watch somebody move a certain way, I can really picture where they're going to be. And if I can just get in early enough, I can start to redirect them, like you would create just the right obstacle to guide them out of the way of an imminent disaster in their body. And then that way they get to enjoy their movement choices for longer without the unnecessary inclusion of a third party, which all too often means therapy or then subsequently surgery. And then, of course, the very thing that they like doing is created on the very inhibition they have to deal with and the inconvenience of not enjoying their lifestyle that they were enjoying for such a long time. It's like cooking, isn't it? It's like if you were told if you cook something inappropriate, it would be unedible, and you keep doing it. You just want a better guidance, a bit better of a chef to guide your experience of learning the right recipe and how to mess with the ingredients properly. And that's what, for me, came out of meeting people like yourself and all the other incredible researchers and pioneers of curiosity, really, because all the science is there. All of the knowledge is there. There's millions of people in the world doing great collaborative research, but it needs interpreting for the layman. And I find myself in that position, whereas I'm a layman and I have to translate from the researchers into the customers that ultimately come to me first. They'll never meet the researcher. And making sure that we understand it properly and then translate that into really brilliantly guided movements of their particular shape is what helps us make such a significant difference.
Well said. And I think the thing that I'm so thrilled about with the work that we've been doing for the last 6-8 months while the book's been grinding its way through the editing and publishing process, and it's been so validated by the teachers that we've been lucky enough to train, the master trainers that we've been working with, because what we've been able to do is not only see how the work works with them, but how they make it work with others. And I think that's the key for both of us. And for most of the teachers that we meet, is their dedication is one of service. What's the best service I can give my clients? What's the biggest difference I can make, regardless of age and stage of fitness? How do I modify this for somebody who's older? How do I do this for somebody who can't do the movement that's on the list? And really, what we're talking about is the modifications, the subtleties, the micro movements. And I don't know about you, you're a master trainer in Pilates. Do you not think that a lot of the movement modalities we've come to accept that are basically written on the grounding of biomechanics, which we know is largely the wrong metaphor. I say largely, I'm being polite, it's the wrong metaphor. We're soft matter. We understand the fascia. We've done more dissection than most people get to imagine or read about. Yep. And we see the ramifications in the body of tissue glide that isn't available, of body-wide shape that's been doing something that wasn't designed for. You know, notwithstanding accidents, what I think we're discovering, and you may see it slightly differently, but I think we're discovering that the trainers we work with are so excited to have these additional methods in their repertoire, these additional ingredients in their repertoire, and this understanding of dose and degree in their repertoire, that, you know, I just laugh and say that you are the Gordon Ramsay of movement master chefery. I think I said it in one of the podcasts, because, you know, I was watching Gordon Ramsay on MasterChef recently, and he walked up to somebody and said in like seconds, make sure that's in the oven for another 2 minutes and that it stands for no less than 8. Do you understand me? And she went, yes, chef. And of course, it came out absolutely beautifully. Yeah. And although he said it quite sharply, because he didn't have time and she didn't have time, it was an instruction. That tiny note transformed her dish from okay to superb. And everywhere we go, Paul, Jakarta, Singapore, Brazil, France, Spain, wherever we've taught, everyone I meet is so excited by this ability to serve their clients so much better.
This is true. This is so true. But there's a reason for why we're experiencing this globally. It's because the people that are excited when they hear what we have to offer, it's because they want to hear it. They're in a position, they found themselves in a certain time of their education or their career or their own life experiences. And they're waiting to hear this message because they didn't hear it earlier enough, or it would have been the wrong time to hear it earlier in their career, where they were just getting carried away with being passionate about serving and helping and having such huge influences on their clientele. But it's only through experience, like Gordon Ramsay, as he's created and accrued vast amounts of experience over the decades of making huge mistakes, that he can already spot where somebody's going wrong early enough. And I think the key to this whole story is patience. The world is in such a huge rush to live longer instead of enjoying the life they're currently living.
Beautifully said. And then, oh my goodness.
And then get ready to live longer in that way. Because the world is...
Because they can.
Yeah, but they're obsessed with transformation. They're obsessed with firmness and hardness and aesthetics. And they're all gorgeous people. They're all beautiful. They're really in every shape and size and color and creed. But what the missing thing is kindness to their tissue. They're so aggressive in their approach to attain the health and fitness. And what they're often basing their aspirations on are elite sporting athletes they see on TV or their famous stars. And all of them, bar none, are retired in their mid-30s to 40s and have a whole 60 years plus, if we all live around 100 years, give or take a decade, to either be a coach or the long forgotten to memory.
I know. It's tragic.
Isn't it, right? But the general public base their aspiration, their long-term life aspirations, on these short-term successes of these modern-day gladiators, I like to call them. So I personally come from a martial arts background since I was 7, and I'm lucky enough to reach 53 this year with almost no injuries. I've been very lucky. I've done lots of combat, and I'm currently doing it. For me, one of the hardest versions of it is jiu-jitsu. I don't know why. I'm a bit of a glutton for punishment. But I embrace the art of moving. But more importantly, because I'm a chronic pain specialist, if you like, I want to know how to recover or be ready to, if you like, avoid going down the wrong path where I can't do the thing I like doing.
Yeah.
So I created movement styles and movement patterns that I do after and before each session. So I've trained my tissue to heal quicker, because I went and learned what the ingredients of my body are, so I'm familiar with how the time frame is relevant to each part of them healing appropriately. Excellent. And that's why some people think I'm a Gordon Ramsay, only because I've made so many mistakes over 40 years of learning that I can share it with somebody who's in 4 years of learning. I'm not trying to interrupt them. I don't want to spoil their own journey of experience gathering, but I want to help them avoid some of the traps that I fell into because I also was in a rush in my early days. And it was only through great mentorship, great coaching, and great course mentors that I happened to find myself amongst, none more than John Sharkey, who I've known for over 20 years, who said, where are you going? Slow down. And if you slow down, you get to see more. And if you get to see more, you'll get to speed up faster because you can start to anticipate what's ahead. You can start to see the obstacles that you will create in your own body and your own movement you can avoid. And that twins so awesomely with my almost like my second father, who was my major karate instructor back in my day, Alec and Peter Laurie. They were two brothers. And they taught me how to learn movement about me, what I was capable of, and how to share that amongst my peers, how to compete at a serious level, and how to manage and enjoy doing it without taking too many injuries. And we share our experiences to wherever we get them from. But on a more scientific understanding, when we say that we're not biomechanical, those ingredients are important. And I think the biggest one that's been left out of most people's education, it's been given ad lib a little bit, is the marvelous name tissue, fascia.
Mm.
Because I don't think people understood how to explain it very well. And because it was confusing, let's ignore it. And that's almost like removing the white of an egg and go, well, we don't understand, so let's not use it. Well, how can you separate it? You have to sacrifice it and disregard it. And then in a human, you're left with then just this muscular loop. And solid, weak, no, it's a starch fascia, but then a skeletal system that there is just no natural relationship between those two tissues. There's a missing ingredient.
Absolutely. It's often called the Cinderella tissue.
Yes.
And I often think about that, you know, the ugly sisters. I don't think muscles and bones are ugly sisters for a minute, but the truth is they never managed anything without the Cinderella tissue holding everything together. And the big problem we're addressing now, Paul, you and I have been in this field 20, 30 years apiece. John has been saying the same thing for 30, 40 years, is that there's lots of younger people jumping on the bandwagon and replacing, and older people as well, that, you know, coming in and basically using fascia as an additional tissue to add into the story of biomechanics.
Yes.
And this is where this is a mistake. I'm going to say it straight. It's a mistake. Fascia is not mechanical.
Nope.
And that's the big problem, that putting fascia as if the muscles and the bones are separate and the fascia just joins them up, and using it as a way of same old, but with a different explanation, doesn't work. It will work for a little while. It will appear to work because the old paradigm of biomechanics has appeared to work, but we're still making, you know, so-called artificial limbs or joints out of metals and ceramics. We're not using body-like materials yet. We're beginning to. Yes. Medical bioengineering is getting exciting. But people are not fully recognizing this whole paradigm shift. And of course, for me, it's a very special subject of the spiritual nature, if you want, or the nature of source of the breath interface with that tissue.
Mm.
And this is where I think it's so important that we're able to teach people how to recognize the differences between the people they work with, not trying to push everyone through the same patterns, because they simply don't work. And the rule books were made for the ideal body. And quite frankly, I've never met anyone with the ideal body. And I don't mean flat abs, perfect bosoms, perfect ears, perfect nose, perfect mouth. I just mean a body that can really move with easy, natural grace. I mean, how rare is that?
It's the unicorn syndrome, isn't it, right?
If
you see a unicorn, capture it, and so we'll study it and understand it better. Because there is no perfect human, but there are some very capable humans in their own individual fields doing remarkable things. But those same people can't do other things that other people are capable of. Like a fish in the river will not try to ride a bike, even if you put the bike in the water, because it doesn't care. It's a fish. And I don't think people see themselves as different species within a species. And that we have short and long and tall and fat and strong and slightly inhibited characters. And we're not meant to do the same thing. And unfortunately, just because of the herd mentality of being in a society that needs to be controlled, our exercise and health industries have gone, if we can create buildings and tell people to come here, we'll guide their fitness for them so they don't have to think about it. They just follow the herd, repeat and paste, and that'll be good. But unfortunately, to go with that, because they're all different shapes and sizes and they shouldn't all be doing exactly the same thing the same way in the same time frame, you have to have then a rehabilitation industry that is supporting that industry. And one feeds the other, because rehab doesn't exist unless you get broken. So they need you to be broken to exist in the first place. And of course, the surgeon needs to pay for his house. So he must do surgery, because if he doesn't, he's got no home. So we then...
And they save lives. I mean, surgeons saved my life 2 years
surgeons
ago.
Surgeons are incredible. Yeah. And when we need them, like antibiotics, when we need them, we take them. But we tend to get involved in movements that are not serving us for this part of the species that we are biased towards. And everybody should go out there and try every activity possible, because they need to find the right juice that really stimulates their body so it flows naturally, that the energy is efficient, that they're not suffering unnecessarily for what? I see so many people now training like they're going in the commandos, like they're training to go to World War III. And yet they're only going to the office or to pick the wife up or get the kids. But in that 1 hour, they're training like they're literally going to war. And then they come out like they've been to war. They're in pain everywhere in their body. And I understand the urge and the need to be powerful and independent. But all too often, the consequence of that approach is you are going to get injured. You are damaging and sacrificing the quality of your living tissue to attain a certain physique and shape. And in the long term, that has much more serious consequences. Yeah, in my view, everybody's dying to, and there's a lot of information out there about getting muscle mass. Get muscle mass, because you need muscle mass in later years for strength and protection. And there's an element of truth to that, but it's not the size of the muscle mass. It's the quality of the muscle relationship with the fascial environment the muscular tissue lives within. And that's a totally different conversation, which is where I personally preach there are no muscles. It was just a really weird labeling system out of the 16th century. We just forgot to relabel. And now if you say, well, there are no muscles, there are just regions of the body. I'm training the arm, I'm training the leg, rather I'm training the quads, I'm training the hamstrings. Well, now you have to have a different conversation, because now you have to start thinking about how you influence the whole leg properly, rather than just...
In relation to the rest of the body.
In relation, rather than separate from you. So that becomes dysfunctional training if you have an arm day, leg day, back day, bum day, ab day, whatever day. This need to separate yourself like your bits of Lego. And then once you've done that day, you can give it time to recover while you target something else. But the whole system, the whole oneness of you is having to recover from that traumatic training session. And it becomes very delusional in how successful you're being. I call it dysfunctional strength. Because ultimately, if you can't move because you're in pain, however strong you thought you were, you're now immobilized. That can't be normal, but it is very commonplace. And that's my passion, is to try to address that and make people aware.
And I think, well, I know that some of what we're doing is surprisingly undramatic, let's put it that way. And I know as we finish up this first podcast together, we've said some contentious things.
Good.
I know that for myself, obviously, injury a couple of years ago, the need for surgery meant that I had to completely rethink all the rules I'd ever made. But since I treat so many people for cording and tethering post-surgery, I had the thought, I stand kicking if I can't sort this for myself. Mm. And you know how shocked I was that 12 minutes a day of subtle movement completely transformed my ability to move within 3 months. And I thought it would take me a year. So although I know you've been in the army and the RAF, and we'll talk about that in another podcast, because I know what a valuable contribution it made to your history of movement. Just changing our modality with the paradigm shift of 20th to 21st century anatomy is absolutely crucial. And I just want to thank you for being with me on this pioneering journey.
I love the stepping stone journey we're doing, and the more subtlety of motion we can incorporate and influence the world to explore and feel and experience, I think it will really temper down some of the extreme outcomes that people are having to suffer with. Although I know a lot of people like pain is pleasurable for lots of people. I promise you, the richness of subtlety, it will overwhelm with joy in your body.
Can't wait. And on that note, for those of you that are interested in learning more about myofascial magic, there's a website of that name, myofascialmagic.com, and you can click on there and there's a free training that you can hear all about the 5 keys to myofascial magic. And if you're interested in talking to me on Paul, you can do that. We give you some free time just to discuss your needs. It's not a sales call. It's a how can we help you call. And we wish you well. Keep in touch and please keep the lovely messages coming in because we thrive on them. And they even sneak into our weekly live coaching calls that we do with our course participants because everything is fascinating when it comes to myofascial magic. So take care, stay well, and God bless you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.